morning. Welcome to worship on this hot day. Our call to worship is We Are Called, and we did this song last month, so we're bringing it back so that you can learn it again. And it celebrates that we're called, claimed, loved, and healed by God. Just as Jesus' disciples were called down by the lake shore, we are also called today to be his disciples. So the words are, it's a route. So Jim and Joan will send the yellow words, and then we answer in the white words.
Ceases to amaze me when we come to church how sometimes we're afraid to talk to someone who sits next to us or who joins us. You know, I mean, we're here to pray, to get our hearts right with God, to talk with Him, to sing our praises and thank Him, to tell God we love Him. But then we look around and we're thinking maybe the person sitting next to us is mean or funny. And we're all in the same, I mean, we're trying to get right with God, so we shouldn't have to be afraid, you know. We come here with good hearts and good intentions. I shouldn't say that, good intentions, because you'll tell me, you know what the road to hell is paved with. Good intentions. Couple of announcements. We've added an extra day for pictures, and July 9th. If you're a member, if you're a visitor, if you come here often and would like to know who's who you're sitting next to, that picture directory is good. Get your picture taken, and you'll have a free directory and a free 8x10. If you would like your picture in the directory and would like a copy of the directory, it's going to cost you $10. Bring a picture in if you're not able to get your picture taken on the days that are indicated. So if you're not able, I encourage you to get your picture in anyway. That's the first thing. Second thing is Vacation Bible School is the 18th through the 22nd. That's 2 Mondays from now. Boy, that's coming fast. There's still a few items that we need donated. They're on the bulletin board in the fellowship hall. Also, if you'd like to help out in any way, it'd sure be appreciated. I know Joanne Steuben would like your help. Also, I need an assistant. I'm playing the part of, is it Daniel in the lion's den? In Babylon, I get arrested, and we need a guy, most likely a guy or a gal, who wants to be prime minister of Babylon. They have to be an affable, easygoing person who can just move along with Harlow. You're turning red, Harlow. Anyway, if you'd like to be my assistant or be my arrester, you can arrest me and mistreat me as much as you want. But we need help, too, in the kitchen and teaching and assistance and music and all those things. So if you can help, talk to Joanne, would you please? The last announcement I'd like to make is 3 Sundays from now, we're having this John Koziel and four of his best musicians from the cities lead us on Saturday night at 5 o'clock and Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We've entitled it Rock the Spirit, Music of the 60s and 70s, A Celebration of Freedom. And if you've been here the last 4th of July weekends, you know how good the music is. For those who don't care for that kind of service, we're having a traditional worship service at 8:30 in the morning here. In the sanctuary. So that's 3 weekends from now. If you want to hear some good music, just to let you know, the musicians that play are all professional musicians. They play backup to the groups that come into the cities. Last year, I asked one of them who he's played for lately. He said Journey, which is a rock group from the 80s. Asked another one, he said he'd just played with Santana down at the Dakota Jazz Club. Third one, I walked over to the drummer and asked who is he's drummed for lately. He said, I played with the monkeys at the zoo. And I laughed just like you did. He says, no, Davy Jones, Peter Tork, and they had been down at the zoo, which has a fine venue. So these are wonderful musicians, and the music's going to be great, and we're going to celebrate the nation's freedom on that day with our prayers and meditation and all the songs from the 60s and 70s. So put that on your schedule. If you have family or friends you'd like to invite, it would be a good time to invite them. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather this morning, Sunday morning, June 10th, 2012. Hot outside, promise of storms this afternoon. And yet we live in a great country, in a great place that people come to vacation. You hear the joyous laughter coming from our hearts today, and yet some of us come with heavy hearts, concerned about how we're going to live, how long we're going to live, how we're going to pay the bills, concerned about hurting neighbors, hurting friends, hurting family. And some of us are filled with joy because of the many blessings, and yet we gather as fellow sojourners here on earth to help one another down the road of life. Today we gather before you to thank you for all you have done for us, to tell you we love you, and to ask that your Holy Spirit might move in our hearts. And so send your Spirit this morning into this place that we might leave refreshed and awakened to the work, your work in the world. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is what? Hallelujah.
Yeah, everybody sing Hallelujah. It's a song, when I was a youth group, I sang it many years ago, so some of you might recognize it. It's basically a song about Easter and has a simple message. God sent his son died on the cross, that we might have eternal life and live in him every day.
Hallelujah.
turn to the order of confession and forgiveness on page one of your bulletins. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's join together in confessing our sin. God, we confess our lack of faith. We see a glimpse of what we ought to be, and we know we fall short of the goal. We desire faith which is solid and unchanging, yet we crumble under the trials and temptations of life. We want to be strong, but we know our own weaknesses. Our sinful condition strips us of any spiritual gain we humanly devise. God, forgive us. Accept us as we are, unworthy for the task, yet gifted for your purposes. Give us your gift of faith.
Our God is a great God and knows what we need in every area of our life. God knows our weaknesses and our unbelieving hearts. God loves us even enough to die on a cross and provide forgiveness for our sin. Today the focus is not on the faith we can muster, but on the great gifts our God gives. God has given us the gift of faith, faith for the moment, faith for every trial, faith for every temptation, faith for every difficult situation. Praise God for this inexpressible gift of faith.
Amen.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. All-powerful
God, in Jesus Christ you turn death into life and defeat into victory. Increase our faith and trust in him, that we may triumph over all evil in the strength of the same Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
Please be seated as we invite the praise team to sing their praises.
The anthem we're doing is Better Than Life, and it's just about tells us that God's love is the greatest love that we can ever experience. He loves us and will always hold us in his arms. We did this in February during the Valentine's service, so we'll sing it through once, and then the second time through we want you to join us.
first lesson today is 2 Corinthians 4:13 through 5-1. Life is present, transitory, and cannot compare with the eternal home God has prepared for us. So we do not despair no matter what life might bring, because we know that as God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises to bring us eternal life. Chapter 4. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with the Scripture, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that sake, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, and our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for eternal weight of the glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Chapter 5. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternally in the heavens. The psalm today is Psalm 130. Please repeat the refrain when you see the bold R. Wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet with you is forgiveness, in order that you may be feared. Wait for the Lord, for with the Lord is
my soul waits for the Lord more than those who keep watch for the morning, more than those who keep watch for the morning.
Wait for the Lord, for when the Lord is steadfast love, with the Lord hears unto his redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Wait for the Lord, for when the Lord is steadfast love.
Please rise in honor of reading the Holy Gospel. Holy Gospel this morning is from the third chapter of St. Mark, beginning with the 20th verse. In response to charges that he is possessed, Jesus wonders aloud how anyone who is demon-possessed can cast out demons. Those who do the will of God are possessed by the Holy Spirit, sisters and brothers of Christ. And the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When Jesus' family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, he has gone out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons. And he called them to him and spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Been watching the basketball finals. I don't know why, but 150 stations you keep zooming through.
Came across a story of Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, those of you who are basketball fans know, probably was the greatest basketball player in the history of the game. At least some people tout him as so. Young guy Stacy King was a rookie. King got in at the end of the game, was fouled. He shot, made his first point. That same game, Michael Jordan scored 69 points. During the interview afterwards, they asked what Stacy King will remember about this game. He looked into the camera and smiled and said, Michael Jordan and I scored 70 points. Jordan never won any categories. He won five most valuable player awards, but he was like ninth in scoring, 18th in total points. He never was first in ever any category. He was not the most accurate shooter that ever was. He was not the greatest rebounder, not the greatest jumper, not the greatest defense person, and yet many think he was the greatest basketball player ever. He was five-time MVP. He was kicked. He was cut from his middle school basketball team. I mean, he wasn't that good. So they ask him why he got so good. He said, every time I went out on the court, I put my heart and soul into it. I gave it my best. So I'm thinking about that as far as being Christian. Do we give it our best? When I was a kid, on the way home from downtown to getting home, there was a guy who owned like two blocks of land, and he had to put a big stone wall on the outside of it. The shortcut was to go over the wall and cut through, okay? And it was a long, long way around and up a hill and through the valleys to get home. So a buddy and I were walking one day. I was probably six or seven. He says, let's take the shortcut. And I says, what shortcut? He says, go over the wall. He says, there's no way, because you had to crawl up through the rocks and then over, and I could scrape my knees, and then being a runt, I would fall, you know. I mean, it was a high wall. He took my hat and flipped it over. Then I took his and flipped it over, and we crawled up, and we were all in. Found some apple trees, however. Anyway, some days you and I have to take our caps and be all in. There are some moments in our lives when we hunger for the heroic, when we have to make decisions that we know are going to be better for us, but we hate to leave the safety of our environment. It might be changing jobs. It might be starting a new business. It might be leaving home after you graduate. It might be going back to school. It might be retiring. You never know, Randy, you never know what's going to happen when you retire, if you retire. I mean, those times come where you throw your cap over the wall and you're all in. I know a young man who was 30 years old. He decided to make a change. He had inherited a business from his father. He was secure. He was respected as a man. He knew, though, that he wasn't where he belonged. He knew he was called to the ministry. And so he started teaching and preaching. He left his career. He started healing and working with people. He threw his cap over the wall. And he was a success, and he was popular. And crowds started coming to his congregation, but then the critics started coming out. And the critics made things hard for him. In fact, his family came out and said, he's gone crazy. And his friends deserted him. And they hung him on a tree between two thieves. And he died a cruel and unjust death, forsaken by God and forsaken by man. No one judged his life to be a success. And yet, 2,000 years later, we consider him the most successful life that has ever been lived. That took place in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. Jesus tossed his cap over the wall. He said, I'm going to do it for God. And he lived and he modeled life for us. A life of adventure. A life of promise. Early in the 20th century, some of you remember, Colonel Charles Lindbergh flew across the plains of Nova Scotia and Newfoundland, and as he flew his small sprucewood airplane, he looked for places where he could land in case he was in an emergency over Nova Scotia, over Newfoundland, and then there was nothing but ocean, and he was all in. He threw his cap over the wall. A friend of mine was telling about his great-grandmother who started out in Grand Forks pushing a handcart to meet family in Portland, Oregon, across the prairies, across the mountains, pushing a handcart, people of faith waiting for her. Her cap, when she took that first step, was thrown over the wall. When I hear stories like that, doesn't it make you wonder what it would be to be all in, to give your life over to a project where you're all in, where you toss your cap over the wall and there's no return? Of course, no one has ever accomplished anything of note doing that without critics. Toss that hat over the wall and quickly you're going to have, you're going to learn who your friends are. Read the story, the autobiography of Winston Churchill. Churchill probably was the greatest leader in all of England, especially in the 20th century, no question. But he was also the most criticized politician there ever was. He was at a state dinner, and sitting at a table, around the table were all these dignitaries, but sitting a couple chairs down was a lady named Mary Astor. You know her as an actress. She was quite a politician herself, quite acerbic in her criticism. She listened to Churchill pontificate about this situation and that situation, and it was everything he said was pretty much at odds with what Mary Astor believed. Until finally she couldn't hold it anymore, and she said, "Winston, if you were my husband, I would flavor your coffee with poison." And without losing a beat, Winston Churchill said, "If I were your husband, I believe I would drink it." No one accomplishes anything of note without critics, and certainly Jesus had his critics. In today's lesson from Mark's gospel, Jesus is in the early part of his ministry. People are starting to take note of him. They're starting to follow him. He'd chosen his disciples who were going to carry on his work after he was done. The crowds are growing larger. Momentum is building in his ministry, but almost immediately he runs into opposition. First of all, it's from his own family. Mark tells us that when Jesus' family heard about what was happening to Jesus, they went to take charge of him. They said, "He's out of his mind." His own family wanted to yank him out. "He's out of his mind." Can you imagine that? Sometimes it's those closest to us who have the hardest time coming to grips with our own dreams and aspirations. Oftentimes husbands and wives have problems because of this. Or may come down to colleagues. In Jesus' case, it was the teachers of the law who would come down on him. With a poisonous sneer, they said, "He's possessed by Beelzebul, the devil, by the prince of demons. He's driving out demons." That's the way life is some days. Start to make waves, start to do something a little different, and somebody's going to try and wrest it out of your hands by belittling your work. One author called it the Salk theory. Jonas Salk, the great doctor of medicine who pioneered polio research and discovered the polio vaccine, had a legion of critics when he was at work. And that holds true with anyone who's successfully innovative. First, he says, people will tell you that you're wrong. And then they'll tell you that you're right, but what you're really doing isn't important. Finally, they'll admit that you are right and that what you're doing is very important. And after all, they knew it all the time. We have our critics. The best way to answer your critics is to do what the builder of the Panama Canal did. He had critics back home telling him, "What is he digging down there in Panama for? It's a lost cause. There's nothing but jungles. There's nothing but mosquitoes. There's nothing but disease." And finally, one of his subordinates was so irritated by all the criticism and all the flack that they were giving, he asked the great engineer when he was going to answer his critics, and he says, "I'll answer the critics in time when the canal is finished." Comes a time when we have to toss our caps over the wall in spite of everything our critics have to say. We put it on the line. Nothing's ever accomplished by people who value comfort and safety and acceptance above all else. There comes a time for what is often called this leap of faith. You toss your cap over the wall. Of course, the greatest adventure that one can start out on, the most spectacular adventure, often the most courageous change that can be made in life, is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus is telling us in this lesson. You've got to be, you want adventure? You want to feel the blood pulse through your veins? You want to give yourself and invest something? The greatest adventure you can have is to follow him. All too often, though, we confuse discipleship with membership in the church, or we confuse discipleship with respectability. There's certainly no particular risk being respectable by becoming a church member. Anyone can do that. But to become a disciple of Jesus Christ, to move from a nominal belief system to a radical conviction, to move from a nodding acquaintance with God to a complete commitment of one's life, giving your life to him, that's more of a challenge for the human creature than digging a canal or finding a cure for polio or being the best basketball player in the world. I was reading about Noel Paul Stuckey, his conversion to Jesus Christ. Some of you might know Stuckey by his beautiful wedding song. Eric, you probably sung it. He's now to be among you at the calling of your hearts, but rest assured this troubadour is acting on his part. The union of his spirits now has caused him to remain. For wherever two or more of you are gathered in his name, there is love. There is love. Others might know Paul Stuckey as the middle person of Peter, Paul, and Mary. Strong Christian these days. One point of his life, Stuckey was going through a time of searching and crisis. He was disturbed by the hypocrisy he saw in his life, saying one thing and then acting and doing another. And he turned to an old Greenwich Village friend of his for advice, someone who we respected as a spiritual person, Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan. If you want an interesting read, read the autobiography of Bob Dylan. I did that this winter. He's more spiritual. I thought he was a joke, but he's got something going. Anyway, I've got a lot of whole new view of him. Anyway, two things that Dylan told Stuckey stuck in Stuckey's heart. First, Bob Dylan says, take a walk in the country. Stuckey did that, and he ordered his priorities, what was most important as he took a walk in the country. Then Bob Dylan said, read the Bible. Now, being a Christian, he grew up giving nominal support to the Bible, but he never read it. So he read all the New Testament. He read portions of the Old Testament. His life changed. Sometimes it was hard and sometimes it was difficult. It was often slow and mysterious, but something real happened in Stuckey's life as he read the Bible, and today he's a living disciple of Jesus Christ. He threw his cap over the wall, and he gave his heart to following Jesus by everything he says and does. I'm thinking this morning, isn't it time some of us toss our caps over the wall and get all in? I remember reading about a certain high jumper that broke the world's record. He said he threw his heart over the wall, over the pole, and the rest of him followed. Maybe you and I need to throw our hearts over the altar so that we follow. It's exciting to read about the early days of Jesus' ministry. He had his critics, of course, but he never let them detract him from his call. He was going to serve God. He was going to love everybody he met. His life is a challenge to our lives. I think it's time for us to toss our caps over the wall. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. This time we'll invite the praise team to come back and sing for us. Lead us in Blessed Be the Lord. We'll invite the ushers to receive our morning offering.
Blessed Be the Lord is based on Psalm 91, and it's a testimony for those of us who trust in God. It says, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so we just need to call upon him, and he will answer our prayers.
Take a moment for silent prayer. For the church that had boldly stand against evil and oppression, even as it promotes reconciliation among nations, races, and religions, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For all who work in commerce, government, or politics, that their work benefit those in need and the rights of all. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For the land that rains and showers water the earth and produce food for all creatures that swim, walk, crawl, or fly. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
For all who are sick, anxious, lonely, or grieving, especially remember in our prayers Dean and Linda, Bob and Linda and Gary, Janine, those others who we name in our hearts who need your healing touch. We pray that they not lose heart, but hold fast to your promises. Lord, in your mercy. For the individuals, couples, and families in this community, that our words and deeds reveal your gracious will.
Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the challenge today to throw our caps over the wall, to be all in for you. We pray, O Lord, that we might have the heart and the courage to follow you through our words and through our deeds. We thank you for your many blessings, for the forgiveness of our sins, for our families and friends, for the lives you have given to us. We pray that you might lead and guide us and watch over our kids and grandkids these days. We give thanks for all the faithful departed whose lives enriched the family of faith and who now dwell with you in glory. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Receive our hopes and prayers, O God of mercy, for great is your faithfulness in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We'll invite the praise team to lead us in the Lord's Prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is He's Got the Whole World in His Hands.